back to Head Games. We're joined by Len Dawson, formerly the host of HBO's Inside the NFL, and my bet as the best guy covering the NFL anywhere in the country. We're going to shift to the hated rivals of the Chiefs, the Denver Broncos, in a big confrontation against Indianapolis. Most people, including myself, thought that Denver had the edge in that game, especially when one would find out that they had 227 yards rushing. They had no interceptions from Jake the Snake, 13 for 21 for 174 yards, a very competent performance by him. And yet, once again, Peyton Manning and the Colts found a way to win. Tell me about this game as best as you can take it.
Are you speaking to me, Nick?
To Leonard.
Leonard, yes. I would be Leonard. They have found a way to win how many times this year? About three or four times where they've had to come up with some plays late in the ball game to get it done. And Peyton Manning is just unflappable, I do believe. He knows so much about the offense that, you know, he doesn't need a coach. He knows that much about the offense. And he just has so much confidence in himself to get the job done that it happens. I mean, if you don't start with that, Nick, you have no chance. But he has that feeling, and he's done it before, and that's the thing. If you've done it before, you get that feeling that just like you kicking a 50-yard field goal, when you go out there and say, hey, I can do this, I've done it before. And I think that's a situation that he is in, and not only that, since he does it, the rest of his teammates believe him in as well. You know, they don't have any doubts that he can get the ball to them if they get open, so it's the feeling that, you know, just spreads, and it starts from Peyton Manning all the way through that offense.
You know, Len, also, I'll add that it's nice when a team understands the value. Not that I'm biased in this, but when you acquire a kicker you can depend on. Look what's happened with the Atlanta Falcons, with Michael Vick, with Morton Anderson kicking six field goals a few weeks ago, then a game winner the next week, and then three key field goals yesterday to beat Cincinnati. And I, for the life of me, for the brilliance of Bill Belichick, how they could have let an Adam Vinatieri go and give that variable to the Indianapolis Colts, give them the guy that they know they can depend on late in the game. It changes the level of confidence. It gives them one more sense of focus as they go down that field for the late score in the game. And I just can't understand how a player of that dependable magnitude, like a Vinatieri, was allowed to be let go by the Patriots.
I guess it's called money, Nick. That'd be the only reason I could understand. And how about him, though? Vinatieri going to play half his game indoors. Doesn't have to worry about anything. Don't have to have that snow plow that they had up there in New England one year, whenever it was, against the Raiders, I guess it was, to have a nice little area there so he could get his foot planted. But you're right. When you take a look at so many of these games in the NFL these days, they're decided by 3 points, thereabouts. And that means the kicker gets involved, and the guy that is successful kicking the ball. I saw it with Kansas City against San Diego here just last week, where they kicked a 53-yard field goal, and then there was, what, a 63-yarder, and there was another long field goal. Well, maybe it was Anderson that kicked the shorter one, but there were three games right there last week decided at the end of the game by a field goal kicker. So I don't know what Belichick does up there, why, the reasoning behind it, but this guy's a heck of a kicker, and he's been under pressure in Super Bowls. And so that's the type of guy you want.
Now, as you look at the Denver defense, only allowed 2 touchdowns, none at home. What was Manning able to do? I watched a couple of the plays with Reggie Wayne, and it looked like he split John Lynch and the defensive back and got John Lynch to commit early to the short drop and force him, and it created a lot of space for Reggie Wayne twice in the back of the end zone.
Peyton Manning is a smart individual. You know what they do that's do so well? They make adjustments. They make adjustments during the game. They might even make an adjustments during a particular play after it's been called in the huddle. You know, and when you have the relationship that Manning has with his receivers, he knows where they are at all the time, and if he's getting the protection and he has enough time, he's going to get the ball to one of those guys. And I think that they're great receivers because they don't drop many passes. I don't see too many passes dropped by the Indianapolis Colts. And maybe that's because Peyton throws a ball that's easily catchable. But the thing is, they're all on the same page. You know, and it starts with intelligence, in my opinion. Intelligence from the quarterback position, intelligence from the rest of the positions as well. That, you know, that they can make adjustments when they have to.
And it also starts with an offensive line. Getting back to that, we had Howard Mudd on the show a week and a half ago talking about the simple scheme they have there. Bill Moss has talked about it as well. You have a zone blocking scheme. You have interchangeable parts. You've had the same basic offensive line for a couple years in a row. And they didn't allow Manning to be sacked even once yesterday.
Well, you know, you hit on what. Why are they successful? They protect him. Now, I'm going back to a playoff game. I forget who it was against. Maybe it was New England. They didn't protect him. And so, consequently, he was just like another quarterback out there. A quarterback has to have the protection to get the job done. You don't have to sack him even. If you can get in his face to impair his vision downfield where he might make a bad decision on who to throw the football to, that's just as effective as a sack sometimes, because oftentimes you'll come up with an interception. But it starts with the big... And the game has never changed, Nick. It starts with the big guys up front on both sides of the ball. If they get the job done, generally you could be successful.
Herman Edwards said yesterday, it's the same message he's been preaching to the Chiefs all year. It's about will. It's about who wants to win more badly. We're going to bring in Dr. Louis Choka, who founded West Point Center for Enhanced Performances, which has helped put 10,000 cadets through training for battle, the ultimate kind of pressure. And Louis, you watched that Cowboys-Panthers game last night, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, let's talk about the notion of will and its relationship to harnessing emotion. It looked as if early in the game that the Cowboys were headed for another embarrassing defeat, and John Madden was talking about how this wasn't the same Bill Parcells without emotion, and yet it was as if he allowed his team to finally show some leadership itself. The Cowboys team was a different team that last three quarters. They took control of the game, and conversely, the Panthers didn't seem to have any emotion.
Well, it's not actually what I saw, Nick, was I saw three different teams out there in terms of the Panthers. As you said rightfully, in the first quarter there, in those first two touchdowns, you saw the perfect balance in terms of, being up and emotional and so forth. Then you saw a long period of time when they kind of almost became lethargic about the whole thing. Then at the end, of course, they got emotional again because they realized they've got to get more intense, but I think they became too intense. You know, one of the things you have to think about, what's the purpose of generating emotion? And I think it's to create energy. But you have to have the right amount of energy, keeping that in balance. And there are a number of examples throughout that last 10 minutes where key players, veterans, really, really lost it in terms of fumbling, dropping balls. Keyshawn Johnson was a great example. He beat the Dallas cornerback, was headed for the end zone, and he dropped the ball. I mean, it's a ball that should never have been dropped. And even that interview afterwards, he said, I was just trying to score. I was thinking about trying to score and didn't look at all the way in.
They're trying too hard.
I was too intense. He even said, I was too intense. As a result of that, I focused on the wrong thing.
Len Dawson, what does this Cowboys win last night mean? To me, it means their season is still full of hope for the playoffs.
I think so, and I think, you know, when Parcell made the switch at quarterbacking position, he came under a lot of fire. There are some that thought it was a good idea, but there's also a lot of other people who didn't think it was a very good idea, putting Romo in there as the starting quarterback. And so what it's going to do for the team, it's going to justify Parcell's move to switching quarterbacks, because, you're judged on success, I think, as a football player. You know, what can this guy do? You know, potential? Yeah, he's got potential, but can he transfer that onto the playing field and accomplish something out there? So I think, Dallas got a good defense. They've had a good defense for the last couple of years. It's been the offense that's been the problem. And one of the big problems was protecting the quarterback, as I said before. Bledsoe's not the type of guy that can get out of too many people's way once they put the heat on him. So for the Cowboys, what it tells them, they can still get to the playoffs.
Well, let's talk about the reverse of having a great running game. That when you add a Romo, a quarterback that is able to, shall we say, find a way around the vulnerabilities of that Dallas offensive line and give them a little bit more time, it creates maybe a little bit more space for the running game. Explain to the listener, Len Dawson, how a mobile quarterback can actually, in reverse, help your running game.
All right, let's take Drew Bledsoe. Where is he going to be when he throws the ball? He's going to be 7 yards behind the offensive center, directly behind him. And so you, as a defensive lineman or a linebacker who is blitzing, you know where he's going to be, And so, you know, you can take that route to get to him as quickly as you possibly can. But say that a guy has got some mobility, he might run some bootlegs, he may just roll out one way or another. You don't know that he's always going to be behind the center. He's not going to be there all the time. So you may hesitate after you take your first step or so to try to locate the quarterback and where he is. That could be enough time for that offensive lineman to take control of that block to give your quarterback time to throw, whether he's back in the pocket directly behind the center or whether he's moving one way or another. It just gives more options to the offense and give more problems to the defense to try to figure out where that guy is going to be.
What about when you go, as you did in your career, from a backup quarterback, you were a starter most of your career, but when you make that fateful jump to the starting quarterback position, all eyes are on you, but you're also getting more reps in practice. And while Romo had a lot of reps, some say the most ever by a backup in the preseason, it's a different thing during the week, during the regular season, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, practice is one thing, but game time is another. Adrenaline is flowing, just like the good doctor was talking about. Emotions are much different before a football game than it is before a practice session. Oftentimes, you know this, that you want to say, well, geez, I hope I can get through practice today. I don't feel all that well. Just hope they don't run me too much or whatever. But you go in and you know what you're capable of doing. You have to enjoy, I think, a little success. And coaches can do that because they're calling the plays. And they could put a quarterback, a young quarterback, in position to make easier throws to start the game. Screen passes, little hitches, things like that, quick slants, things that are not too difficult to throw and also don't take very long to get rid of the football once you get the snap from center. So you can help a young quarterback in that regard. And if he gets a little success, then he'll have more confidence, and the rest of the teammates on that team are going to see that, and they'll have more confidence in him.
Well, and they had Julius Jones not only at the running game, but then they had Jason Witten catching six passes, and our old friend Terrell Owens with his first game over 100 yards. I heard a collective moan across the country, but at the same time, I think it was also a moan with pass defenses that know that he's going to be a favorite target of Mr. Romo. When we come back, we're going to talk about who was the pressure player in the NFL this week with Len Dawson and Dr. Lewis Choker, and who was the choke artist, who is the guy that unfortunately is the biggest hindrance to a team winning in the NFL this week. We'll be right back. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.